In today's episode, I want to talk about what legendary cellist Yo-Yo Ma has to teach all of us about living a life filled with joy. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, Senior Pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. I sat down in the chair today and I said to Tim, boy, I've got so much I want to say, which I do, so I will try to keep this relatively compact, but it is good to be with you. And what I want to talk about today is prompted by the fact that the day before taping this, I had the incredible opportunity to see Yo-Yo Ma in concert at the with the Minnesota Orchestra in downtown Minneapolis. And by the way, that I was able to do that thanks to the generosity of a good friend, and you know who you are, so thank you very much for making that possible. And I grew up in Chicago. I went to Orchestra Hall many times growing up. I actually was able to perform in Orchestra Halls with the Youth Symphony of Chicago. I went to college where I played and encountered all kinds of professional musicians. And I was blown away by Yo-Yo Ma's concert for reasons which I will get to. Most of you no doubt know who he is. If you look him up and you see a sort of summary of his life, words like soloist, recording artist, and cultural icon come up. I believe he's 70 years old this year. He debuted when he was just a child, playing all the way back, again, I hope I have these dates right, in 1962 for none other than Dwight Eisenhower and President John F. Kennedy. I mean, think about that. Think about how long his career has spanned. He's recorded more than 90 albums, or maybe 90 albums, has 20 Grammy Awards. He played famously with his sister when he was, I believe, 8 years old with Leonard Bernstein, and he has been playing ever since. I think he said he came to Orchestra Hall here in Minneapolis for the first time 40 years ago. And so he is obviously a virtuoso performer with a long history, incredibly talented. But the thing that I just was struck by last night watching him, and I had these seats where I could see him relatively closely and particularly see his face, I'll use words like effortless, totally relaxed. And maybe the word that comes to mind more than any other is the word joy. He was performing the Elgar Cello Concerto, which is a famous cello concerto. It's not all happy music, but he played with this amazing joy, which was palpable. He smiled throughout at the audience. He was smiling at the concertmaster. He would turn and smile with the cellists. And that joy got me thinking, as I suppose I am wont to do, about some theological things. And by the way, if you want another sort of example of this, I might point you to, I was talking again with Tim about this before recording it, the Winter Olympics just completed, of course, and the woman who won the gold medal in figure skating is a young American named Alyssa Liu, L-I-U, and her performance, I thought, in a very similar way, and again, maybe some of you saw this, was just filled with joy. It wasn't a nervous bone in her body, it didn't look like. She wasn't anxious. She was effortless, relaxed, and again, joyful, sort of as if to say, look at what I get to do, and look at what I get to share with all of you. Isn't this amazing? And I was actually able to watch Yo-Yo Ma as he came out onto the stage. I was sort of facing him as he walked out the stage, onto the stage from the backstage door. And the doors opened and he walked out and he just said, hello. You know, and everyone started applauding wildly. He almost got a standing ovation before the music even began, which prompted him before the music started to get off of his chair and start to walk off the stage as if to say, it can't get any better than this, so I'll just leave now. And which, again, was another expression of his joy. So what that got me thinking about, again, I want to sort of move in two directions here. One, I want to lift up from two of my dear friends, G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis, some quotes, or at least the partial quotes, about this idea of joy. They both come in really important books by these individuals. In the case of Chesterton, his book Orthodoxy, which is probably his most important and famous book. And the last page of the book talks actually about the thing that Jesus hid. It's a very interesting perspective that Chesterton had or has, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it. But it's precisely the final paragraph starts with the word joy. It says this: joy, which was the small publicity of the pagan, is the gigantic secret of the Christian. And then he goes on to say, you know, Jesus didn't hide his sadness, his tears, his pathos. He was happy to cry. He didn't hide his anger. But what he hid, he says, was, interestingly, maybe his joy. And the last word of this book is the word mirth, which is another word for joy. The last sentence, there was one thing that was too great for God to show us when he walked upon our earth, and I have sometimes fancied that it was his mirth. And the book ends with that word, mirth. Who thinks about Jesus and the word mirth? Well, G.K. Chesterton does, so that's interesting. And then C.S. Lewis, in, I think, undoubtedly his most famous book, Mere Christianity, again, towards the very end of the book, it's the last two or three pages, talks about what happens when we become Christians, when our lives are changed, when they're transformed by God. Every now and then one meets them. Their very voices and faces are different from ours, stronger, quieter, happier, more radiant. He goes on to talk about sort of what describes these people. He's basically talking about saints. Let's see. They do not draw attention to themselves. You tend to think that you are being kind to them when they are really being kind to you. They love you more than other men do, but they need you less. They will usually seem to have a lot of time. You will wonder where it comes from. I strongly suspect, he says, that they recognize one another immediately and infallibly across every barrier of color, sex, class, age, and even of creeds. And then this: in that way, to become holy is rather like joining a secret society. To put it at its very lowest, it must be, in italics, fun. So G.K. Chesterton ends a book with mirth. C.S. Lewis, towards the very one of the last paragraphs of Mere Christianity, talks about how when we're transformed by God, it becomes more and more fun. I mean, these are not things I think people walking around thinking about Christianity would assume, that it's mirthful or fun, and yet there we are. And again, watching Yo-Yo Ma playing so effortlessly, so joyfully, I could not help but think about that. So that's Yo-Yo Ma playing with joy, reminded me of these quotes, which then moves me to the last thing I want to say, which is what that means for us, okay? And at the end of the concert, after the Elgar, he came back out, he made a few comments, which just reinforced how he had sort of behaved on stage anyway. But part of what was happening there was he was deflecting attention from himself. He was thanking the conductor. He was thanking the concertmaster. He was giving all kinds of credit to the orchestra. And he was also giving credit to the audience, as if to say, we did this together. And what a beautiful thing, right? And here I am getting choked up. It was fascinating to me that it wasn't about him. It was about him doing what he does beautifully and perfectly, and then sharing it with us. And what that meant for us wasn't, and this is the important point I want to get to, maybe some people there are young children who are going to study the cello and become the next Yo-Yo Ma. For 99.9% of us, his joy, which was he was sharing so freely, didn't say to us, well, I hope each of you becomes a brilliant classical cellist, right? Instead, what I think I left with anyway, and I have a feeling other people felt this same kind of infectious joy, was, wow, he's doing what he's supposed to do. And boy, is he doing it well. And he's having so much fun. And he's filled with so much joy. I hope that I can figure out what I'm supposed to do so that I can share that gift with the world as well. And I have talked about this. I know it's been maybe a long time, but I know I've done at least a few episodes about this, how each of us is called to a particular calling in this life. Each of us has unique skills and abilities and talents and sort of way of being in the world that no one else has. And so maybe if we can find those episodes, maybe we'll link to them. But let me close with a couple of other final quotes, one of which I'm going to say providentially, I just stumbled on. This is a brand new book I just got. It's a little tiny book, very small. It's called I Am a Son of Saint Augustine. It's Pope Leo the 14th on his favorite saint. And here's one, I could say a lot about this, maybe we'll talk about this another episode, but in the early pages, this is some of his own words, he, Pope Leo, says, the life of St. Augustine and his call to servant leadership reminds us that we all have God-given gifts and talents, and our purpose, fulfillment, and joy, there's that word again, comes from offering them back in loving service to God and our neighbor, okay? So again, we find joy by discovering what we're called to do and offering it back to the world. And then this is the last quote I will reference, and I know I've talked about this. It's been quite a while, but this comes from a little book, a little less bigger, but Richard John Neuhaus, Freedom for Ministry, where again, he's talking about how when we're called to what God wants us to do, it means that we are by definition different, right? Yo-Yo Ma was not like everyone else in that concert hall last night. He was called to a particular thing, and he embraces that call. I'm going to call it a calling. And as a result, he's able to model for us what it means to accept that call and to live it out in a powerful, beautiful way. And so part of what it means to be different is to accept that difference. And here's what Neuhaus says. Those of us who have been touched by the burning coal of the altar must not, and that means, he's talking about pastors here, but I would extend it to everyone. Those of us who have been called to whatever God calls us to do, whatever God calls you to do, must not pretend that nothing special has happened to them. God calls you to a particular role in the world, and that means you are special, right? And then he goes on to say, such pretense, in other words, assuming nothing special, there isn't anything special about me, such pretense is not humility, but blasphemy. It's not modesty, but ingratitude. It is not devotion to equality, but evasion of responsibility. It is fear, the fear of being different. And when, this is the final sentence, and it's so important, when we are afraid to act upon the difference to which we are called, we inhibit others from acting upon the difference to which they are called. The other way to say it is when we accept the difference to which we have been called, we inspire others to live into that same difference, which is what I experienced with Yo-Yo Ma last night in an amazing, wonderful, powerful way. So all of those thoughts resulting from this incredible concert from, again, this legend, this icon, this joy-filled performer. And I hope today that my message will help you reflect a little bit more about what God has called you to do in this life and to go about doing it filled with joy. Thanks as always for being with me. As always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.